Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. ReadingThePlay.com.
All right, so let's have a look at these games. Now, we are recording this early on a Thursday afternoon. So first game on Saturday night, our time. England up against Samoa. Sunday, early morning too, Australia taking on Fiji. But we've got the Australian side. Jared, you said you've seen an England side. I can't find the England side. Can't find the Samoa side as well. So everyone, when it comes to markets and so forth, need to be a little bit patient around the different rulings that we're used to from the NRL or indeed other competitions where we're just not quite sure of some of the teams just yet. We do know the Australian side, so I'll get your thoughts on that. Mal Meninga has decided to play guys who didn't play in the grand final and giving them just that little extra week. We know that they're going to very comfortably go through to the final stages, the quarterfinals. So I'm in favour. I think he's doing the right thing, giving people a game. I don't think Daly Cherry Evans is going to play when Nathan Cleary's right to come back into it. And they might want to have that extra game for Cam Munster to get that combination going with Nathan Cleary. But to be honest, I think he's doing the right thing, getting everyone a game and giving those other guys a rest.
Well, I think the really good thing there, Jimmy, is that there's a lot of pressure and competition for positions. And so, yes, I expect Australia win comfortably this weekend, but I like the fact against a 38 or 39-point line that we've got guys wanting to really aim up. I'm sure Cherry Evans wants to put his best foot forward this week, as do a number of other players. And so I expected that Australia are full tilt and serious and really want to have a crack in that game. And I think there's some nice angles around a couple of the others. And, you know, maybe Tristan might just take us through some of those markets and his initial thoughts on what the week one lineups look like.
Yeah, and as you said, Jimmy, it's been difficult over a number of factors to set the markets because obviously we don't have those team lists finalised other than the Australian team. My understanding is that the squads of 19 will drop 48 hours before the game, so that would mean that probably just after midnight tonight or after midnight Thursday night, by the time you've listened to this, the teams for the England-Samoa game will be out. So I would suggest Friday we'll have all of our try scorer markets up. We've obviously got the dilemma of how we price up markets when we usually have jersey of first try scorer options and we've got a different range of markets in place. So that's going to be another fun one to look into. But in terms of the main markets, the England-Samoa game has been the best back because we've got a lot of shorties in a lot of the other games. But Samoa started this match slight underdogs. They are actually $2 about we opened them $1.80 England, $2 Samoa back at the end of September there, but they've been absolutely smashed. They've been back from $2 into $1.63. So very firm favourites. England out to 225 and 3.5 is the line. So certainly a big push early days for Samoa. It'll be interesting just to monitor those final teams. The Aussies are obviously very short there. Less than $1.01 against Fiji, who are 21. The market has shifted by a number of points already. We opened it at 34.5, and we've already got the line out to 39.5. So there's been some big moves already. Probably the other game just to look at, which is the other tight one, or at least somewhat competitive in the head-to-head, has been Scotland-Italy, where there's been a really strong go for Italy, both at the head-to-head and at the plus 15.5. That game's actually down to 12.5 now, and it's $1.24 Scotland, $3.95 Italy. So all the other games are pretty wide, and there's been a bit of action on the lines on the way through. But I think once we get those final team lists, it'll be a little bit more certain.
Well, if we go through a couple of those highlight games, the England-Samoa, this is a really, really important game. It opens the tournament, but the winner of this, I expect, ends up being the number one seed through that group, being Group A. The loser then ends up as a number two seed and would then play Tonga in the quarterfinal. So I'm sure that you would rather be looking to want to play PNG than Tonga. Secondly, Shane Warne, the English coach, who is ex-Wigan, very good motivator of men, very much about defence. I really liked how England looked in their trial. I think they're really well set up here. I think that they can win off the bat. I can't understand the push for Samoa. The big question for mine about Samoa is who plays seven, most likely Milford. Suwali would, I expect, plays number one. I think they're two weak roles in that particular team lineup. And they're only into England with probably two to maybe three short training sessions into this game. I'm keen about England. I think they're really well positioned here.
Yeah, no warm-up game for Samoa. England did have that warm-up game, and that would be the first chance they get to play with Victor Radley. I only saw the highlights of that game, but I think how Sean Wayne uses Victor Radley is going to be really important. And you know, this is one of these situations where you've got this ball-playing lock forward that Australia will have, New Zealand won't have. In fact, Australia have got three of them. They've got Jake Trbojevic, who won't be asked to do that. They've got Cam Murray, who probably won't be asked to do that either. He'll play out on an edge. He'll definitely be in the 17, most probably definitely in the 13. And then you've got Isaiah Yeo, who will be that ball-playing option. England's ball-playing option is Victor Radley. So playing with him is not straightforward, especially if you haven't done that type of thing before. So it'd be very interesting to see how George Williams is going to cope with that and how the England squad cope with it as well. So reports I'm getting out of the Samoa team is that the professionalism of Joseph Suaalii is ridiculous. First to training, last to leave, does all these pre-training stuff. He's injury preventing. Like, he's just the ultimate pro, and the kid's 19 years of age. There is that question mark around his passing game, but he's not going to solve it in the course of this tournament, but he strikes me as the type of guy who will work at it so much that it will become a strength. And you can look at, in the history of the game, someone like Billy Slater, who when he first came into the game, he didn't have a strong passing game. You could argue he didn't have a passing game. I think that's where Suaalii is going to get to. And then the other thing is about how they're working out their coaching situation. I think the fact that Daniel Holdsworth is in there and he's at the Cronulla Sharks now, at the coalface, working with a team that's very much up to date in what they're doing. I think he's having an increased role in what this Samoan side is doing. So Matt Parrish and Jeff Toovey leaning on the knowledge that Daniel Holdsworth is bringing out of the Cronulla Sharks. So I think that's really interesting as well. Samoa strike me as a side that they're just going to have to play a power game from a forwards point of view, as opposed to the little subtleties that England can have as well. Did you have a best for this first week, Jared?
I did, Jimmy. I think the other thing to keep in the back of our mind here is that there are showers forecast for Sunday, Monday around most of these grounds. So I think that, again, favours England. You're right, Samoa will want to play a power game through the middle, but just not sure that they're going to have the, I guess, the current match fitness and game experience of playing in these conditions and or be as pumped up as England. So I do like England as a bet. I do think Australia covered a line against Fiji. 38.5 originally I thought was very low. It's out to 39. I think it'll start 40-something by game time. I think Australia put the cleaners through here, even if it is in damp conditions. And then we wait till Wednesday morning our time next week. I think the other highlight game to have a really good look at is Tonga versus PNG. Currently, Tonga minus 26.5. Again, I think they cover that. I think PNG are being rated on some good international form over the last 12 months, but they're still not at a level with the majority of their team Q Cup players against what I think will be a very strong form lineup from Tonga. The best, certainly Australia at the minus 38.5, which was available over the last couple of days. I thought the other game that was interesting, you touched on, Jimmy, was Scotland and Ireland. Certainly I'm with Scotland to win there. And I thought the other one later in the week was France and Greece. The French obviously have Mr. Robinson as an assistant. They showed some patches of good form in the first half of their trial against Tonga. I don't know that Greece can aim up here. 24.5 was the line there. I think France probably go on and cover that. Of the rest, Ireland should look after Jamaica quite comfortably. New Zealand should look after Lebanon comfortably. And I think Cook Islands end up getting over Wales.